first reading from the Bible today comes from 2 Kings 21 through 3, and that is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. You can find that on page 356 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible, which is in front of you. Listen now to God's word to you today. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both great and small. He read in their hearing all words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. All the people joined in the covenant. Here ends the reading of the first scripture.
I saw that we skipped the children's message. I don't know if anyone would want to come up on their own for the children's message. No, okay. I'll see you after church then. I'll see you after church. That's fine. It is pretty much a tradition. I haven't even started preaching yet. No, I'm just kidding. He has nursery duty. It is tradition in the new year to set plans and goals, and as I mentioned at the very beginning, we call them resolutions. Some deal with food, and some set spiritual benchmarks. The beginning of the new year is a great time to do that, because then you have the whole year to look forward to. I'm losing them left and right. They must have heard this one before. My brother from Wallingford is in town, and we were talking yesterday as we were, and they stayed overnight, and we were talking about all the different places we've been for New Year's, and it's been pretty interesting. It's been kind of fascinating. We talked about when we spent New Year's in Honduras. He worked in Honduras for 5 years, and how when New Year's comes, they shoot rifles up in the air and then scatter, because bullets coming down from the sky can be pretty dangerous. We talked about when we spent New Year's in the Alamo, which was pretty dangerous as well, probably the most dangerous, even more dangerous than when we were in Times Square for New Year's. That was quite interesting, but that was fun, and we never felt unsafe at any time. We talked about, I talked about the time when we were in Moscow for 5 years, and Moscow is kind of, the New Year's is their Christmas. That's when they open their presents, because they hadn't had Christmas for 80 years. So New Year's kind of became that time when families exchanged presents. Now, we didn't do that ourselves. But the one New Year's celebration that will always be impressed upon me was the time that we spent in Naples, in Italy. If you've ever been to Naples for New Year's, you'll never, ever forget it in your life. And the orphanage where we worked was right on the Bay of Naples, and we could look across the bay and see the center of the city. And no joke, it looked like a war zone. I mean, there were fireworks going off, and there's smoke, you could hardly see anything. And they take literally the statements, out with the old and in with the new. So you are not to walk. Oh, they're coming back. Good. You're not to walk along the streets of Naples during New Year's Eve, because what they do is they literally throw out from their balconies and from their windows that which they're no longer going to use, including appliances. So I'm not kidding. They will throw out refrigerators from the balcony onto the sidewalk below and microwaves. So when we drive through the streets the next morning, you just can't believe what you see that people throw out. So that's one thing that when we went to Longwood Gardens last night and then came out on midnight onto the streets of Strasbourg, we're like, wow. Is it New Year's or is it not? So it was so nice to have a little bit of a peaceful year this year and not have to worry about people throwing microwaves out their windows at you. This is our first year here. And it's also our first year to be able to make promises, not to ourselves, which is what usually New Year's resolutions are, where you make promises for yourself. This is our first year together as a family to be able to make promises through the covenant renewal service to Almighty God. This is really, the covenant renewal service is really nothing more than a public display of piety. It's a ceremony. It's like a swearing in. It's like a wedding. But just like all of those kinds of public events, what you say isn't nearly as important as what happens in the time following after you say it. How you feel isn't nearly as important as what happens in the days that, in the weeks and the months that take place after you've made those commitments. So if we're going to do this service, it's, I think, important for you to understand a little bit of the background, both the scriptural background to it as well as the historical background as far as where did this come from and what is it all about. But let's read first our second scripture, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, then you better live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. And Jesus was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. And through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. And now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My guess is that each one of us has encountered God in some ways and in a variety of ways as well. When I was 17, I first gave my life to Christ. Some of you were probably younger. Many of you probably older. Some of you probably can't remember a time when you didn't love Jesus. That has always been a part of who you are, a follower of Jesus Christ. But even if that's the case, all of us in all of our relationships have to, from time to time, take a deep breath and say very deliberately, I love you. And that's true not only in our relationship with our Savior, but also in our relationships with our spouses. And this isn't Valentine's Day, and normally in the Sunday around Valentine's Day, I do something and I preach on something that's related to that. But I want to just take that time today as well. The first day of the year if your spouse is next to you, or if they're across the church from you, I want all of us to say, I love you to our spouse. So I'm going to say, when I count to three, I want you to turn to your spouse or look out to your spouse, and you can even wave if you want. But I want you to say, I love you to your spouse. I know you're, I don't care what has happened this morning. I don't care what's happened this last week, month, or year. I want you to fake it, even if you have to. But go ahead and do it. So ready, one, two, three, turn to your spouse. I love you. When was the last time, thank you for waiting, Dave. Oh, it was that, sorry, got it. When was the last time that you said, I love you to God? When was the last time you just took that time and stopped and said, God, I love you. I love you. Almost every week here at this church, we pray for a spiritual awakening in Strasbourg, and we ask God to use us for that awakening to happen, but it has to happen from the inside out. It has to start here for that awakening to take place. It has to start within the church and then go out into the community and into the rest of society. It can't happen the other way around. And unless the churches are excited, committed to that renewal and to that revival, there is no hope. There is no hope for that to happen. It has to start with us. The truth of spiritual awakening, we're going to look a little bit at the scriptural background and the scriptural foundation for this covenant renewal. Our 2 Kings scripture speaks about a true awakening that takes place within the nation of Israel. They had lost the book of God. They had lost the Torah. They had lost the Bible. They had lost the laws of the Jewish people. And now finally they found it again for the first time in a long time. And they read through the laws of the people. And the king tells, and I love this part in verse 1, he has all the elders come together, so that he can gather them and he can speak to them. And then he reads that scripture to them. And I love also the verse that he says that he gathers them all from the greatest to the smallest. So no one is left out in the reading of, in the public reading of the covenant, in the public reading of the Torah. And then finally in verse 3, we read that the king stood by the pillar and makes a covenant with God. And then the verse ends, and the people joined in the covenant. Now that word stood, so the king stood by the pillar and the people joined in the covenant. The word stood and joined is the same exact word in the Hebrew. So you could almost interpret it as, and the people not only joined in the covenant, but they stood in the covenant. Their feet were fast. They were not going to allow themselves to go away from the covenant that they had made in the presence of all the people. So the people, their feet were entrenched, were stuck within that covenant that they had made with God. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 31, this is a wonderful scripture because it reminds us not only that we're to renew our covenant vows more than a periodic basis, but it also tells us what we're supposed to do in relationship to our children as well. Chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verses 12 and 13, here's what God tells us. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, as well as the aliens residing in your town, so that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and to observe diligently all the words of this law, and so that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land. There's nothing new about a covenant renewal service. People have been doing this, as we read, from the time of the early, early Israelites. But it's hard to be spiritually disciplined if someone isn't there holding your hand to the fire. Today is a time where we're going to force ourselves to remind ourselves that we can't really hold that covenant by ourselves. So we're going to hold each other accountable. That's part of the covenant renewal service, is we do it in front of people so that people can then hold us accountable. Isn't that true, though, of all of our resolutions? If no one is there to kind of see whether you're enforcing them or not, you're more than likely not going to enforce it. Let me give you a little bit of the history of the covenant renewal service. In 1755, John Wesley used the very same covenant renewal service that you find in your bulletin. That's when it started. And each year, the Methodist churches normally do these services. How many of you come from a Methodist background? Wow, that's quite a few of you. So this should not be foreign to you. This should be something that you have seen before. This is a service that is traditionally a Methodist service. When we were missionaries in Italy, we served in four Methodist churches. And that's where I kind of discovered it for me, for my own sake, and for the sake of the churches. And Wesley said, after the first service, many mourned before God and many were comforted. And then in his diary, he wrote, "It was an occasion for a variety of spiritual experiences. I do not know that we ever had a greater blessing. Afterwards, many desired to return thanks, either for sense of pardon, for full salvation, or for a fresh manifestation of his graces, healing all of their backsliding." I'm going to encourage you all, now if you would take out the covenant renewal service, which you find in your bulletin. And I'm going to lift up a couple things for your attention. There's a part on page 3 that's called the covenant prayer. And at this stage, we're going to be standing throughout the service. And if it's too long for you to stand, it's okay to sit down. It's absolutely fine for you to sit down. At the part where it states the covenant prayer, if you feel so led to kneel or to bow or to express some form of piety at that point, you are more than welcome to do that. And I know in a Presbyterian church, with people looking at you, that's not something that we traditionally feel comfortable doing. But this is your house. This is your home. This is your family. Feel free to do that if you feel so led. Also on the very, very back, you'll see a place for a signature and a date. So I encourage you, not here in the pews, but once you get home, if you feel that this is a covenant that you want to renew with God, it's not with us, but it's between you and God. If you feel that this is something that you want to do, that you have truly renewed your covenant before Almighty God, sign it and date it and put it in a visible place in your home. A lot of people put it on their refrigerator. Because then that morning when things aren't going quite so well, you can see it and you can say, that's right. I made that promise, didn't I? Let's go before God now and let's stand as we renew our covenant before Almighty God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. And through baptism we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and perfecter of our faith. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And from time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, however, we meet as the generations before us have met to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make the covenant of God our own. And so today, commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Because Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and our interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us, therefore, go to Christ and pray together. Together, let us say, let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be.
be my own. I will give myself to your will in all things.
Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work.
Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal.
Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this today by a holy covenant. To make this covenant a reality in your life, listen now to these admonitions. First, set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ, consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you're clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. And fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never, ever go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. If you're so inclined, fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, and open your hearts to the Lord as we pray. Let us pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will, for you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. But God requires that you shall put away all of your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again, if you would only let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will
and take your will as my law.
Christ has told you that you must suffer with him.
I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you.
God has given holy laws as a rule for your life.
I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction, and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty.
The Almighty God searches and knows your heart.
O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it, and that the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we do come before you, and today in this liturgy, in this time when together as a family we renew our covenant before you, I pray that you will watch over us and keep us, not only as a group, but as individuals. And that we will be able to see this covenant service as a renewal of our vows to you and start afresh and start anew on this first day of the year. We pray all these things in the loving, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.